Tonight on Full Credit to the Boys, the World Cup runneth over. There's a Manly star who's on the move, or is he? And the biggest boxing purse the world has ever seen. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, good afternoon, good evening. It seems like it's been more than a fortnight, but we're back. I'm Late Mailman, with me, former legend. You can find us on Twitter, at Late Mailman, at former underscore legend, and our podcast as well, of course, Full Credit to the Boys, at FCTTB underscore podcast. I should let you talk, I suppose. How are you?
Well, thank you. No, good. What a fortnight. Where do we start?
Well, we had the sporting nirvana a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
So this is the Foo Fighters.
And then we had, that's exactly right. We had the sporting doldrums for about all of 48 hours, and then suddenly it exploded again.
Yeah, it was flat for a couple of days, I've got to be honest.
It was, but the Cricket World Cup started with absolute vengeance. What else we had? We've had, the All-Stars, of course, a whole stack of stuff. Anyway, we're going to speak about that a little later on. But before we go too far, how about a bit of rock and roll? Let's do the news. Is it getting warmer? Is it becoming like an old friend, an old pair of jeans?
Can you get that as a ringtone?
I think we already do, don't we? It's from the Nokia 3210. Hey, our first news story this week, the ICC World Cup, as I did mention, has begun. There was the opening ceremony, which oddly enough was on a night that there was no match, I believe. But however, not oddly enough, brilliantly enough, they decided to have Darryl Braithwaite there.
How's that?
Oh, absolutely fantastic is how it is. Yeah. The guy's a genius. 30, 40 years on from Sherbet, he's still killing it.
When I looked at the lineup, Darryl Braithwaite, Tina Arena, I thought, oh yeah, the 1989 World Cup's about to kick off.
Yeah.
Then Jessica Mowboy, who's probably
born in 89. That's exactly right. Yeah. So, but how's the diversity? They have a 70s star, an 80s star, and a 90s born child. That's good.
Yeah,
it's good. I enjoy it. To be honest, Darryl Braithwaite.
Did you watch the opening ceremony?
No, I didn't. I just love Darryl Braithwaite.
Yeah. I watched. What would be called a highlights package.
Yeah.
And I use that term very loosely, highlights package, on YouTube today, just to do some background research.
Yeah.
And, much like most opening ceremonies, boring as batshit.
Well, what was it? Was it the last World Cup where... Was it in India and they had Brett Lee sang and something like that? Was that the IPL? I don't know. I'm rambling. But I saw Brett Lee on stage, which as far as you're concerned... can't be a good thing. But anyway, it's had plenty of action so far.
Yeah.
A couple of 300 plus scores, a couple of 300 plus chases.
And it seems almost every game has been a genuine competition.
Yeah, and also a nice, it's getting a bit sappy, but today at University Oval in Dunedin, beautiful, picturesque. It was like something out of South Africa. It was spectacular.
And what was this? Who won today? New Zealand?
It was New Zealand. Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. They only limped over the line against Scotland.
Three wickets, I believe.
Three wickets, yeah. They made a contest. I think they were just playing with the Scots minds, to be honest.
Right.
Or they were blinded by the tartan on the Scots. or they were pissed off from hearing the Proclaimers every second ball.
Oh, right, yeah.
Fair dinkum. Across Dunedin, all you could hear was 500 miles. Number two. Our second news story tonight. Australia wipe England off the, not out of the World Cup, but it's a pretty bad start. Done by 111 runs. Finchy, who got dropped, I believe, on...
Two,
was it? I was going to say naught, but two. Which, let's face it, that catch should have been taken. He went on and scored nearly 150.
So that drop catch has only cost 133 runs.
It only cost half of Australia's innings, pretty much. Mm. Mitch Marsh starred as well, 5 for 33. George Bailey also. Well, it was like everyone just wanted to stuff with the selectors' minds, didn't it? Mitch Marsh played out of his skin. Yeah. Shane Watson did not. George Bailey hit a halfer.
Yeah.
Shane Watson did not.
No.
And Michael Clarke's going to come back for the next game against Bangladesh. So
what did Shane Watson do again?
First baller.
Right.
Golden.
And
zero.
Just one more time, what did Shane Watson do?
Nothing.
Not a lot.
Not much at all.
He's in trouble.
The biggest sweaty raise was walking out to the crease and back.
Yeah. They're saying that his bowling may keep him in the side.
Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty weak excuse, with due credit to someone who's clearly better at cricket than me, a little bit. Well, let's face
these
it.
These days, I would have put
more into that jab outside off stump that he got caught off. And I think if you're going to fish outside off, you go 100%.
Yeah, you got to.
At least make it fly to slip, to the keeper.
When in doubt, clout.
So anyway, they've got a big decision on their mind. However, we're going to get to that a little further, a little later in the show. Ireland topped the West Indies, which
we tipped exclusively.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago.
We did, I heard Brennan Julian say it the other day, and I thought he was just copying us.
Yeah, right.
So,
talking about the minnows.
Yeah, everyone's talking about, you know, Ireland. Wow, they beat the West Indies. Come off it. West Indies haven't been a force for 20 years.
I texted you the other week, and I watched an interview on TV with, I think it was Chris Gayle, and I said, and then they showed some scenes from West Indies practicing.
Yeah.
And I believe my text to you was, all style, no substance, West Indies.
Yeah, and well, I mean, they've got the first one down, Pat.
Yeah. Everyone wants to be Chris Gayle in that team, I sort of thought. And, not everyone is. Although, I don't think it was their batting that let them down as much as their bowling.
Ireland were just clouting them. Absolutely clouting them all over the park.
Mm.
Granted, it was quite a small field, but, I mean, they're both batting on the same field.
Exactly, yes.
So, that's what it is. So it's going to be an interesting World Cup. As I said, we're going to speak more about it a little later on. The Charity Shield. Wake up, mate. Wake up.
Oh, bad.
The Charity Shield.
12-all bore. Draw.
Yeah. It didn't exactly light the world on fire.
No. And there was more touch judges than ever.
And they still went to the video ref.
And that, to me, is like having more parking cops.
Oh, that can't be a good thing.
Dobbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. It was not much of a game, let's be honest. I don't think either side took too much out of it.
What have you thought of the trials as a whole?
I have the thing now that the preseason needs to take some shape and some formality, because at the moment there are teams just playing random games, and some of them play them against random opposition. And it just means nothing. And
is this one of those ones where they should have a regimented preseason comp?
Yes.
And maybe even this is the chance to do that whole rural thing they're talking about, where they, you know, the Tui's Challenge used to do it. I remember the Tui's Challenge in the early 90s, probably the late 80s as well. But I'm thinking specifically of the 92 Tui's Challenge. And it was at quite a few regional grounds. I think there was a Townsville in there, which was before the days of the Cowboys.
I think Bathurst got a run.
Probably.
The great Bathurst.
Yeah.
Carrington Park. I don't know. It's like we're waiting for the game to actually kick off. Whereas I think we could use the trials as some kind of build up to the
more of a gauge,
very similar to the way the AFL does.
Yeah, NAB Challenge.
The NAB Challenge.
I don't think the NAB Challenge is showered in prestige. However, it does have some form of credibility.
Yeah, and it's an opportunity to try new rules, and that kind of thing. No one takes it overly seriously.
No,
shout out to the Sydney Swans who never take it seriously, but yeah, I don't know. The preseason is just a meandering mess at the moment to me.
Well, the fact that they've gone, nines, then a couple of trials, then the All-Stars, then a couple of teams just piss off to England for a week,
which
and then
ridiculous.
Quickly come back again. Then there's probably some more trials.
Yeah.
And then it is a meandering mess.
There's no structure. It's just this game, then that game, then some nines, then this game, then we'll go overseas.
I'll tell you what, we don't seem to have a particularly definitive solution. We're suggesting a couple of things. How about our listeners, if they could tweet some suggestions?
Yeah.
I'd be pretty keen to hear. You can get us at FCTTB_podcast. We'd be really keen to, like, everyone seems to have a solution to these sorts of things. Something like the Tui's Challenge is good, but we can't sort of set our watches to something, can we?
I'd even go as far to say, if you want to bring those three Pommy teams down here and incorporate them into it as well.
Why not?
Yeah. And a couple of the group winners, like, you know, a couple of the stronger groups, and have the country team playing. It's, you know, because at the moment, it's just a nothing.
Quickly, if we were to do that, for example,
yeah.
Question without warning, where does that leave the nines, just briefly?
as the Mickey Mouse tournament, I think.
Still has a hit out a couple of weekends before?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? All right. We did mention the NRL All-Stars game, the Indigenous... I think I just had a stroke, excuse me.
Take two.
The NRL All-Stars game, the Indigenous All-Stars got home 20-6 fairly convincingly in the end after trailing 6-0. How about this one? Georgie Rose, man of the match.
Yeah, 20 minutes of strong hit out for man of the match.
I think he got it for that outstanding traditional dance and performance they did at the start of the game.
He looked like he was eating a hot pie to me. that was what he was miming. Yeah, look, again, not a game that I can really get into. It did feature one of the cracking tries that I've ever
seen. Wasn't it? The Hail Mary from Tyrone Roberts.
Yeah, brilliant.
Through comes none other than...
G.I., yeah. And it was like he had funnel webs on him because no one wanted a piece of him.
No way.
Yeah, again, just something I really can't get excited about. I know the importance of the game, and I don't think anyone should be saying, let's take it away.
No.
But, I don't know. Yeah, it just doesn't grab me.
What do you think about, for instance, the Indigenous All-Stars potentially playing against something like a Pacific All-Stars or...
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not saying that? Good luck the Pacific All-Stars, because at the moment they can't beat them with Pommies, Kiwis and everyone else, so I don't know how...
Yeah, here's a bit of a trouble. Who does Josh Hoffman play for? Because, I mean, he plays for New Zealand half the time and he's showed up for the Indigenous All-Stars the other day.
That's
Tony Carroll. Who does Tony Carroll play for?
Well, why the long face?
It's just a mess. Yeah. It's just a mess. I'll tell you who won't be playing, Tony De Los Harris. He won't be going anywhere near it if Tony Carroll's there. Big knee to the head.
Good night.
Let's move on. We did mention the club challenge as well. There's Warrington versus the Dragons, the high-flying Dragons from last year. Mm. St Helens versus the defending Premier South Sydney in the World Club Challenge proper. And Wigan versus Brisbane, which I believe is like a replay of about the 93 or 94 World Club Challenge, because Wigan were a powerhouse in the early 90s, as were, of course, the Brisbane Broncos.
Mm.
Not that that has anything to do with this, so it's...
I don't get it. Well, there you go. I don't get
the whole World Club Series.
I don't understand it. I've never thought, let's have a club challenge, because I want to see how the 11th best team from last year was going to go over in England. And that's what St George are. I don't understand what the point is.
Well, I think you could go one step further and say... Does the World Club Challenge even have much relevance? Because...
Less.
Well, I mean, Sturlo said something the other day on Triple M's Rush Hour, I believe. And when Sturlo talks, I listen because I think the guy's a genius.
Yeah.
And he said, I couldn't tell you who won two World Club Challenges ago. I couldn't tell you who won three World Club Challenges ago.
Exactly.
To me, they're not the World Club Champion. They just won a game.
When was the last time you thought an Aussie team gave a rat's about that game?
To be honest, one of the only World Club Challenge games I can ever remember was the start of 1992 when Penrith played Wigan and they got dusted by about 20-4.
Mm.
Darren Willis scored the only try for Penrith Panthers.
No, Darren Willis. Good man. Shout out to Darren Willis.
Yeah, he's listening, obviously. But no, that says everything, doesn't it?
Mm.
It's 24 years ago.
Yeah.
It's the last World Club Challenge I remember, 23 years ago.
I don't understand it. And the thing is that those Australian sides are surely going over there, and particularly someone like Brisbane, and just crossing their fingers and hoping they get through it clean.
Not to mention getting a bit of DVT on the way back.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unless they're at the pointy end.
Will they be given Booney's record a nudge?
Let's think.
Not with
if
Wayne,
Gordy Tallis goes with him, he will.
Not with Wayne there, you wouldn't.
Well,
imagine.
Gordy Tallis won't go if Wayne goes. So there we go.
Yeah.
Moving on. Daly Cherry Evans meets with Titans officials this week. So it sort of came out over the weekend, I believe. The first person I heard to break was bumbling Brent Reed, who's not bumbling at all. He's good.
No, he's good.
His mail's good. Yeah. Mentioned that Cherry Evans was going up there early this week to meet with Titans officials, get assurances that the Titans are going to go forward as an entity. They're not going to fold. And also to probably have a quick peek inside the briefcase, which they would have shown him.
All right.
What do you reckon?
I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
At all?
No.
Foreign?
I think foreign's gone.
To?
Parramatta.
Yeah.
Is my mail. I think Daly Cherry Evans is testing the waters.
Yeah. Leverage?
With that exact view to upping the market price. I think he'll get Manly to pay almost what he wants, especially if Foran goes.
Well, we were discussing it the other week, and we alluded to this again that Foran is probably going to go to the Eagles. Yeah.
I don't care what I read in the next whatever weeks. I still say DCE will stay in Manly.
All right.
Foran goes. So
you know where to find him if it turns completely on his head and he gets it all arse-ended.
At former
underscore legend. Just let him have it. God.
Rip in.
Just rip right in. Speaking of ripping and a tearing, Tiger Woods to take an indefinite break from golf. He was citing his form, and he was saying until he's sort of his form's at a point where he can challenge in a tournament.
Mm. Can I just go back on something we spoke about a couple of weeks ago? The overs or unders?
Overs, unders, how many majors?
I said he would win zero. You said one.
Yeah.
This has made your bet a little bit more awkward.
Yeah.
And shout out to David Belcher for pointing that out on Twitter. And also, can I say, an interesting stat came up during the week about major winners and their age. And what age do you think a golfer's prime age is as far as major winners is concerned?
Oh,
remembering Tiger is 40.
Yeah, I guess so.
So what age do you think is the prime
is
number?
Is Tiger 40?
He's 40.
Wow. 32
on the money. Ring-a-ding-ding. So with that in mind.
So I'm right, but therefore I'm wrong.
It's going to make you make your bet a lot harder.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah.
Can we look back at that record and just see whether I did it just to be a point of difference to you?
Oh, well.
Because, I mean, that might be my saving absolute.
Doesn't make you any more right.
Yeah, that's true.
And I just want to say Tiger Woods, obviously, he's slipped out of the top 50 already. And that obviously that'll go further and further down. However, his ranking in the Mad Rooters tournaments have gone right up.
Speaking of which, Adam Scott's become a dad.
Nice segue. Very well done.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's how we write this. It's just segue central. He's become a dad to a little girl. Good on him. Not a fan of the name. If, you know, each to their own. But Bo Vera is an odd sounding name.
I think you've pronounced that wrong. It's Bovera.
As in, don't bother her. Don't bother her. She's sleeping.
Yeah.
Or is it like B.O.?
Anyway, yeah, B.O.
Congratulations.
That's awkward. Scotty. Congratulations, Scotty.
Didn't you just break up with Anna Ivanovic last week? Seems like it anyway.
Yeah, I broke up with her in my dreams.
Oh, no, that was Wozniacki and old mate. Anyway, Greyhound Racing. Wow, this story is huge.
Massive.
So last night on Four Corners, I didn't see it, but if you're on social media, you couldn't miss it. Today was just... it was just a soapbox for people banging on about greyhound racing and the what's called greyhound baiting, which was exposed last night on Four Corners.
It was, the only word I can think of is hideous.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was horrendous. You feel crook in the guts. And I mean, saying that, I've got a couple of mates that drain greyhounds and they've told me about live kills. And it's anecdotal evidence. I've never seen it, nor do I want to. But this was a kick in the guts to that sport.
Yeah, I can't really fathom the brutality behind it. This might be a stupid question.
You're in the right place.
But just bear with me, absolutely. Why don't they just strap a Christmas ham to the thing if they want them to, you know, be attracted to this thing and chase it?
It's the live blood smell.
Of course.
Yeah, and... the other parts that go with something that's slowly getting killed, obviously, gives them a taste for it. Because, it's not good. It's bloody horrible. And I'm in shock that a sport where you can win fashions on the field in a pair of tracksuit pants is now in further disarray than ever. You know, it's less classy than before.
I'm sure this is one of those stories that's just going to develop and develop. We'll be... following it with bated breath, I believe.
Bated, and well done.
No, I didn't even mean that. Excuse the pun.
Very clever.
Let's move on. Well, it's time for the rant. Now, it's a little bit of a different rant this week. Generally, it's going to be just get up on your soapbox and have a crack at something pretty menial in life that's going to piss you off from week to week.
Yeah.
But this week, there's a little bit more nostalgia about it?
Substance.
Substance, yes. Yeah.
Less opinion and more... well, I guess
it's going to appeal
opinion,
to pretty much every Australian male between 20 and 70.
So I want to talk about The Guardian's recent article on the Channel 9 commentary. I don't know whether you read it.
I've read half of it. It's very long. I got interrupted while I was reading it. But
written by a guy by the name of Jeff Lemon.
Yes.
Who's very bitter. Boom.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But I think he raises some tremendous points that cricket traditionalists have already come out and said this bloke's just bitter and he's got an axe to grind and everything else. However, I and what I see on social media, which I know isn't the best gauge of all, I think a lot of it is it has a lot of substance. I'll just pull some quotes out of it for your listening pleasure.
So basically, before you get to he's basically in a very nutted down thing. It's not like it was, basically. It's not like the old days. The commentary team is not like the old days.
He's saying that if he looks back in time, and I guess we all look back with rose-coloured glasses, however, he says that without Tony, Greg, without Richie Benno, without Bill Laurie there,
yep,
the calling lacks class.
Yep.
Has become one continual in-joke over 5 days of Test cricket, where everyone refers to everyone by their nickname and they talk about what they did and didn't do on a cricket field, and it's just become a bunch of schoolyard boys taking the piss out of each other. And Jeff has said that it's completely disrespectful to the traditions of the game and also to the guys who used to sit in those seats.
We've spoken a little bit about the commentators on various networks over the course of this podcast. Give us a few quotes, though.
All right. So on James Brayshaw, he says, James Brayshaw has the emotional depth of a sock puppet during a button shortage.
Well,
now
no two ways about that one.
Yeah. So he's not a massive fan, obviously. And you know what? It's hard to find a fan of Brayshaw. And I'm not saying that you have to be a cricketer to be a good commentator, because clearly you don't. And I know he was only a Shield player.
Yeah.
However, his jingoism and continual just blokey talk without giving us any insight into the game of cricket is obvious. Let's just say that. So, your thoughts? No?
To be honest, I'm not offended by James Brayshaw like a lot of people seem to be. I'm fairly nonplussed about him. However, I can see the things people are pointing out. I can see why
there's an old saying from Richie Benno that said that when he says, if you're commentating on cricket and what you're about to say doesn't add
to the pictures,
yep, then don't say it.
Oh, that's, I've never forgotten that.
Well, let's just say six of them blokes would be mutes.
Yeah.
Because they add nothing. Yeah. Shane Warne, I can't believe Shane Warne is one of the greatest cricketing minds I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
And yet, it's almost like he's been given license to be an absolute flog.
Clown. Yeah.
You know?
Well, that pizza thing they went on about the other day.
That was
a low point.
Yeah, that was the low point indeed. And yet Warney can offer so much more. And I don't know whether you've noticed, but since the World Cup began, and it's an international feed, I understand, Warne has been far more insightful and talked about cricket. Now, I don't know if that's related to this article, which I probably don't think it is. I actually think with a different cricketing director on their station, he's been told to tighten it up.
Yeah.
And noticeably too, Mark Waugh has that level of professionalism since he's been commentating on the World Cup as well.
Yeah.
Let's just go through a few more quotes. Michael Slater. Michael Slater plays the daft little brother who bounces around after the big kids until they let him have a go. Couldn't agree more.
Okay.
He, like, Slats is, let's just say he's polarizing. I think he is anyway. You either love him or you hate him. I'm not a massive fan at all. It's got to be said. I used to love him as a cricketer. I thought he was... I loved the way he played cricket.
Very exciting, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think he... well, put it this way. If he's got room for improvement, there's plenty of room.
Okay. What else you got?
So he talks generally about the cricketing. So what do you get when you get six former cricketers who think they're comedians? That's not even a punchline. You know?
Yeah, there are... I've got to say, when I read this article, there were things that were being pointed out that I was like, oh, you know what? Yeah, he's right.
Oh,
and perhaps it had just sort of, you know, like I love the cricket. It's on all day when it's on.
We all love cricket. And people,
but, however, I'm not sitting it as attentively as I might have in my younger years.
Yeah, and the thing...
So perhaps it's gone sort of past me a little bit.
The crime there is that their ratings will always be good because Australia loves cricket and Australia loves your cricket team.
That's right.
Especially when they're winning. They're winning right now. So they're going to look at their ratings numbers and go, well, there's no proof that this is actually true. But... And again, I know social media isn't the greatest gauge on whether someone is successful.
Well, they're real people though, aren't they?
Yeah, but everyone's a narc on there. That's I'm a narc. I'm the greatest narc in history.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if it's really hard to find people who are saying they've done a great job. And on social media, you still do find people who say, this guy's doing a great job, that guy's doing a great job. And I don't see that with a lot of these guys. Well, the other thing he spoke about, and we can get into this a little bit deeper if you want, maybe not, but he talked about the Piers Morgan, Brett Lee thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, Morgan can be a prime grade pillock, but Lee was set on affirming himself as a gold-leafed Wagyu. Now,
what's he basically saying there? Like, Brett Lee wanted to show off. Is that what he's saying?
Well, he sent down six balls around the shoulders to try and hit him.
Yeah.
Right, or at least intimidate him. He chased him with the ball. He could have bowled full on the stumps and probably got him out 5 out of 6 times. And yet he seemed intent, whether it was through the people telling him what to do or whether it was through himself, of trying to hit Piers Morgan.
Wasn't that kind of... I remember exactly what happened, but I can't really remember the impetus for it.
What happened was...
Piers Morgan had sledged him on Twitter or
no,
something.
No, no, no. He sledged his own cricketers. And he's a devout... Pommy cricket
fan. That's right, yeah.
And he said that they have no heart. And he said, I can't believe that I've never... I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I've just seen a cricket team without any heart.
Yeah, okay.
And so they decided to show him what heart was all about.
Okay.
And so he got his gear on, went in there and got hit, and I think he broke a rib or something.
Was that part of the spectacle? Like, I'm not sticking up for him, but was it the whole point was that, you know, there was going to be something happen? Like, I mean...
Of course.
And... retrospectively, with what happened, the tragedy that happened with Phil Hughes a few months later.
That's exactly where I was going to head. Absolute craziness.
Yeah.
Absolute craziness. Well, you know, anyway, we'll leave that there because it didn't happen, so why dwell on it? He also says in the article, Channel 9 have forgotten about the story. They're no longer commentators or cricketers, but inverted commas, personalities.
Well, I think that's probably hit it right on the head there, hasn't it?
That is exactly it. Just one more quote. He talks about Brad McNamara, who's the executive director of cricket. Now, Brad was a former Shield cricketer.
Former Shield player for New South Wales, of course.
He's also a very good friend of Brett Lees.
Yeah.
And he wrote...
I think they were both members of Six and Out.
Yeah. And he wrote, he said about him, there's no surer road to mediocrity than a director starstruck by his own talent. Now, he's talking about he loves Warne. He loves all them blokes. He tweets them. He's part of the gang.
Yeah.
And I understand that someone wrote a one-line comment about Brad McNamara on the Raw website, which is a good website.
Yeah.
And Brad McNamara himself got on there and tore the bloke to strips, saying that he's a wannabe, that will never be anyone, this, that. So...
So he's basically saying you've got to be in with them. You can't be... You can't be looking up at them like heroes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. you got to cast a judgmental eye over these guys, and that's why I look at the way Warne's going at the moment with the World Cup, and think it does come down to the director.
Okay, so very quickly we've got to move on, but does Channel 9 heed these words in this article?
Probably not. Yeah. They should. I honestly believe they should because they owe the memory of Tony Gregg and.
The
legacy of the other guys.
Yeah.
You know, the only guy that I think can hold his head high is Ian Chappell.
Mm.
He still talks the talk. He still walks the walk. He writes an article in the newspaper once a week.
Yeah.
And I still think he has everyone's respect outside of those other guys. And this isn't to say sack these guys, get new talent in. I think it just needs to be grabbed by the collar and straightened up a bit.
There you go. If you agree with former legend, let him know. And if you don't, of course, let him know. At @former_legend, you'll find him on Twitter. The podcast itself is at @FCTTB_podcast. And myself, although not quite as definitive with my opinions on this one, @LateMailman. All right, get off the fence time. This is one where we throw something out, something that's been happening in the sporting world. We have to take a side. There's no fence sitting allowed. You have to choose a side. So, our first one for this week. Who would you rather be in the next few weeks? And we mentioned this in the news. Would you rather be Shane Watson or George Bailey? Go for it.
I'd rather be Shane Watson because I understand that his bowling will get him over the line, which I think is a bit of a rip-off to George Bailey, who does have some form with the bat at the moment. But, yeah, Shane Watson will play the next few games when Clark comes in.
That's exactly what I understand as well. Bailey got 50-odd in a warm-up match just before the World Cup. Mm. He also got 50-odd in Saturday's match against England. Clearly hit a bit of form because he knew he had to. However, is it all, you know, fruitless?
Well, it seems to be. And then my understanding further to that is that once James Patterson is fit...
James Faulkner, my mistake.
Then Watson will be really pushing shit uphill to
surely
stay
you have to be.
Stay in that
Because, I mean, if Mitch Marsh gets 5 for a handy 20-odd...
Yeah.
Which he did.
Yeah. If it was me, I'd be choosing Bailey for the next game, but...
They've got a mortgage on Watson, don't they? They've had a mortgage on him for so long.
He's like a cat. He's got about nine lives.
He was injured and injured and injured for like 5 years, and they kept giving him a CA contract every year, every year. Eventually he came good.
Mm.
And despite murmurs of, you know, him being perhaps more of a toxic part of the team, he's clearly got power with him.
It seems that way. So, yeah, Shane Watson, although... I don't think that's a bit of an injustice to George Bailey.
Well, my answer to that one as well is Shane Watson because he's married to Lee Furlong. So, moving on. Which US-based NRL indiscretion would you rather have done? Paul Gallen's texting late last year or John Sutton's spitting on the bar allegedly and allegedly pushing with Luke Burgess and getting arrested in Arizona, etc., etc.?
So, are we saying here, is it better to have called your boss a... C?
Caring, understanding, 90s type.
Yeah. Or is it better to have punched a bouncer? What feels better?
Yeah.
I think Gallen can feel rightly ripped off. The NRL Integrity Unit is a toothless tiger. And they, out of all of this South's fiasco, they are coming out smelling the worst of everyone.
They absolutely are. But I think I'm going to say I'd rather have done the South's one. Meaning, in my opinion, I think Gallen's one is worse.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, it's and the reason why, and I'll simplify it here.
You're going to have to.
Okay. So, there's this guy called Paul Gallen.
With you?
Yeah, you with me? Okay. Yeah. Now, look, I'm going to put it in a real context.
Mm.
Okay. So, I go to work one day and then maybe I go on holidays for a couple of days straight from work one day and I get in a blue. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or I go to work one day, then go on holidays and tell the whole world that my boss is a very explicit term.
As someone who uses Twitter regularly, as I am,
it
is only a matter of time before I drop an accidental time bomb. So with
no tweeting when drunk, people. No tweeting when drunk.
With that in mind, there was one day, if anyone wants to go back and read my Melbourne Cup tweets, they were the drunk tweets of a man who'd had a massive day.
But if you'd had a boss, you still wouldn't have called him.
No, I still think I've got enough judgment to think that, a better judgment, to think that that's not a great idea. But, so my boss, I'd be calling Tony Abbott, you know what? Yeah, no, I don't think that's so bad.
You'd still get your benefits every Thursday, mate.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, second Thursday. Yeah. I'm going to stick with what I think. I feel sorry for Gallen in this and think that he was smashed up for what he did, and Sutton and co. have been whacked with a wet lettuce leaf.
Be keen to know what you guys think. Whose indiscretion was worse, Gallen's or
like
Sutton's?
That.
Tweet us, at @LateMailman. At @former_legend. Actually, don't do that. Just tweet at @FCTTB_podcast. Be keen to know what you think. Whose was worse, Gallen's or Sutton's? Next one. Did Sebastian Ryle dive for Sydney FC? Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The spiteful match with Melbourne Victory on Saturday night ended in a draw. Kevin Muscat looks like he was about to jump over and murder the referee.
Understandably.
Which, to be honest, is probably what he does most. He's not a very calm man.
I was going to say, let's be honest, it's probably not far from his capabilities.
Yeah. So the focal point of this match was a penalty called for Sydney FC because Sebastian Ryle found himself on the ground in the box, appealed for a penalty, got the penalty, they scored it, tied it up. So, did he dive?
No.
Yep.
No, I don't think he did. I think he tripped.
Yeah.
Like a fool.
Yeah.
And I don't think... I'm going to say no. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, although there's a massive history of people tossing themselves on the ground in that game.
Absolutely.
So.
I'm going to agree with you. No, he didn't dive. There was legitimate contact, but it was all him.
It was a shocking call.
The defender couldn't even see him coming. Ryle ran into the defender's foot very, very softly, fell down, but then appealed for the penalty. See, that to me is...
just as bad anyway.
Yeah, it's crashing your car then looking around for someone to blame it on.
Mm.
You know, he just went straight down and he said, you know what, I'm going to get something out of this. I'm not going to get a red face. I'm going to get a goal. and sure enough, they did. So, you know, he has actually been cited to face an FFA disciplinary committee over diving.
Yeah.
So whether they clear him, whether they suspend him for a couple of weeks, will be very interesting to see. And Besar Berisha from Melbourne Victory as well has also been cited because he gestured to the crowd and grabbed his nuts as he walked off the field. So,
wow.
I mean, that's probably a little bit more clear cut than a blurry dive call, but we move on. Now, this is another get off the fence one. This is for Yvonne Sampson. She's out there on Twitter. There was a bit of banter between us and boring NRL guy. Did I say that boringly enough?
He cut your grass, basically.
Yeah, without even trying.
Although, I think...
I went away for the weekend, come back, and then suddenly my lady's gone off with old monotone.
Team Yvonne.
Yeah.
Has been smashed up.
Well, this is... So, if anyone's listening, Yvonne, I'm sure you're listening, but if she's not, can you guys tweet her, at Yvonne Sampson, tell her to get off the fence. Choose one. Definitively. Late mailman or boring NRL guy.
And us sitting here in Team Aaron... we're quite comfortable with the world. Thank
you.
Well,
you know that boring NRL guy, he hedged his bets. He threw it out to about two or three girls that he was wanting to spend Valentine's Day with.
Oh, it's like Tinder.
Yeah.
It's like Twitter Tinder.
Yeah, it was kind of like, yeah. But anyway, Yvonne grabbed the bait, disappointingly. so we move on. Overs or unders?
Move on.
Yeah, good. Move on, Yvonne. Overs or unders? This segment is where we throw out a bit of an outlandish market. We choose over or under, and we go from there. Banter ensues. Our first one. Number of interchanges per game. Over, under, 7. Currently 10. Go for it.
Under. 6. 6 it should be. You.
So we're saying what it should be, not what it will be.
No, what it should be.
What it should be.
To improve the game.
Was it not 8 they were looking at saying?
Yeah, Gallen and I think Matty Johns have...
Ricky Stewart's been very outspoken about it in previous years as well.
Probably hasn't done their cause much good.
It's if Ricky Stewart speaks in Canberra and no one's there.
Does anyone hear?
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be 6, in my opinion.
Wow.
Back to the old days where halfbacks were running around big blokes that were tired. At the moment, you're just getting fresh legs after fresh legs after fresh legs, and so it just becomes a constant bash-up-a-thon.
I'm going to say over, and I'm going to say 8.
8, yeah.
Only because I don't think they can go straight from 10 to 6.
That's fair.
I think 6 is something good to look towards because it certainly changed the game.
Did you see James Graham's suggestion during the week?
I did see him in the headlines. What did he say?
He wanted to extend the...
the bench.
The bench. To
well,
like
8?
Yeah, but with a reserve kind of thing. So
yeah, so that if you lose like someone in a key position, halfback. Like a halfback or a fullback or something like that you can't necessarily cover that easily.
What do you think about that?
I feel like... I'm sure it's got some credibility. However, I feel like it lends itself to a whole new set of statistics, tactics
if
for
you
a
don't,
game.
If you don't think
Can
someone's going to manipulate
absolutely,
that...
Absolutely, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, suddenly...
bloke goes down like he's shot, like a soccer player.
Yeah.
And they carry him off on a stretcher
because
we need a fresh halfback.
And then he jogs up the tunnel.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah,
I mean, that's the most obvious one. There'd be myriad of other sneaky little tactics.
I understand his thoughts, but I don't think it's ever going to work. That would never work. Coaches spend their entire off season and most of the season as well
thinking of ways to bend the rules.
Bend the rules, break the rules, yeah. Smash the rules, create new rules, ignore the rules.
I wonder what his impetus was, just because I didn't actually see if it was during a press conference. I didn't see the vision. I only saw the printed quote. I wonder if it was in response to someone or whether it was him just coming out and saying, "All right, boys, we've got a good idea."
I wonder. I hope that he doesn't think he's going to. He needs an extra fullback because I don't think Canterbury's got two fullbacks.
He could play fullback. Have you seen him run the ball? He takes a hit up, then turns and passes like a halfback.
Yeah, I've seen him spill a sitter the other night too. So, anyway, that's a discussion for another day.
He's a freak. Anyway, we move on. Cronulla Sharks, they're finishing place on the ladder for the season 2015. Over or under sixth place?
Now, we're going to do a preview of the season probably next week.
We are.
Right. Yeah. With that in mind, when without giving away too much, I'm going to say under six, so seventh and below.
A lot of people are talking it up at the moment.
Yeah, of course they're talking it up. It's Cronulla, and they have a massive, rich vein of history of winning titles and everything else. So of course they're talking Cronulla.
There was that Amco Cup, the Super League Grand Final. They nearly won.
Yeah,
and then the Nines that they
the Nines won. They run second again. So, I'm going to say seventh and below. So, over.
I'm going to go... you're going to go unders.
Under.
Over. Under six play. Oh, yeah, it's sort of weird because the number, the higher it is, the lower it goes. I'm going to go over. So, I'm going to say they're going to...
Run the top six.
They're going to run fifth or sixth. They're going to be in the bottom half of the top eight, if that makes sense.
It'll be a massive comeback from where they were this time last year. Well, yeah, not this time. This time last year, but the end of last year.
Not that far from where they were the year before that.
Yeah, that's true. See? That's true, yeah.
Granted, they got a seventh tackle to do so.
And three coaches last year to bugger that up.
But anyway, there we go. Number of West Indies wins in the ICC World Cup. So we touched on their, let's face it, shithouse effort against Ireland the other day. A lot of cricket experts have basically said they're now mentioned in the same breath as minnows.
Yeah, and understandably. And
so are they going to win a game? Are they going to win more than one game?
No.
Will they win one game?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's the other minnow in their side?
Afghanistan? It's Ireland and it's someone else. I can't think just off the
Ireland
top of my head. But
Ireland and Scotland then, is it?
Mate.
Anyway, whoever it is, they will win one.
Yeah, okay.
But just. They are in massive trouble.
Yeah.
Massive.
I tend to agree. Trouble. I think they may scrape over for one. I saw Joel Garner on the presentation on the telly yesterday when the Windies got dusted.
Still 7 foot two, is he?
Absolutely. Mm. Three probably now. But I wonder, does he not finish that presentation ceremony, walk off the field straight into the Windies dressing room and go, "Righto, boys, we've got to sort this shit out"?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because... I think it was Mark Waugh was talking on the radio this afternoon.
Yeah.
And he said that one of the problems West Indies has as a cricketing nation is that their legends don't stick around with the team.
Well, I think that's fairly evident, right?
Yeah. So you've got Viv Richards who's doing stuff with the Stars. And I think Michael Holding does commentary.
Yeah, he's around.
And I believe Kirtley is actually... Is it Kirtley or Courtney are over looking after an IPL team?
Yeah, but I want to say Courtney Walsh. I don't know why. But
okay, so with that in mind, it seems like none of the greats stick around. Whereas if you look at Australia and England and South Africa and New Zealand or even that to that matter, is those guys stick around? You can name legend after legend walking in and out of their dressing room.
But, I mean, it's like obesity. At what point do they say, you know, at what point does a fat person go, "Oh, I've gotten a bit fat"? At what point do the West Indies go, "We've gotten a bit shit"?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's face it. Like, I don't know, Australia won the Frank Worrell Trophy historically in the West Indies in 1995.
Unbelievable
Steve
series.
Waugh was captaining.
Cracking series.
And Steve Waugh was captaining, was he?
Yes.
Yes, he was. They really, despite Brian Lara playing on for a fair few years after that, they really haven't gotten back to the heights where they once were. I think they've won a 2020 World Cup in there, but please.
Big deal. Do you want to hear my great West Indies story?
Yeah. Has it got anything to do with the Viv Richards story?
Nothing to do with the Viv Richards story.
Right, okay.
I was at the Sydney Test. It was a change of innings overnight.
What sort of year are we looking at?
Oh, maybe... It was... Lara was still playing.
Yep.
But he was basically playing by himself.
Excuse me while I just get a couple of beers. Yeah, go on.
All right. So, there was a change of innings, and there was talk during the week that they're running these bowlers that no one's heard of.
Yep.
Are they going to worry us?
Yep.
And so... The new bowler, it's the first couple of minutes of the next morning, the new bowler's out there, he's measuring his run-up, crowd's still filtering into the SCG, and I just hear this guy from over underneath the scoreboard, and it was really funny because it was loud enough that people on the other side of the ground could hear, but certainly the slips could hear because I just heard a guy yell out, bowler's name?
No.
Yeah, and Brian Lara turned around and laughed. And yeah. And that, my That's friend, was sledge, the demise.
That's a good sledge
of West Indies cricket.
Yeah, I've got to say, I haven't been able to name, like, there's your Dwayne Bravos.
Who's flash in the pan.
Yeah.
More cold than hot.
Yeah, they really haven't had an attack since the mid-90s. When they had their Ambroses, their Walshes, to a lesser extent, their Benjamins and Pattersons.
Darren Sammy, does he bowl? Edit that out.
Yeah. Anyway, they're in big trouble, the Windies. Next one. Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather.
Now, you just broke this to me. This is huge news.
So, their boxing match has been set. $250 million purse, if you don't mind.
A mere $250.
Biggest ever.
That'd be in your...
Biggest ever in pro boxing.
That sort of cash would be in your ashtray in your car, wouldn't it?
No. I've got it in a safe upstairs.
Oh, okay. Good,
yeah,
good,
no.
Good.
I'm only about $100 in the ashtray at the moment. Mm. But, yes, so they, I believe it's in the first week or two of May. They're going to be punching one another.
So, is it going to happen? Because it's been talked about for so long, this fight. I can't wait.
Well, it depends if Mayweather gets himself on a domestic violence charge between now and then, I suppose. The guy's filth. Mm. I've only just realised this in the last week or two. He's like 5-0 with women.
You're surprised that a boxer might be a great bloke.
Yeah. I've met Daniel Gill and Danny Green. They're pretty good
great
blokes.
Great blokes. I've actually had a little bit to do with Anthony Mundine, and as long as there's not a microphone around, yeah. Anthony is a great bloke.
That's
it's
what everyone
hard
says.
To believe.
That's
hard
what
to
everyone
believe,
says. I will believe bloke. It because enough people have said it to me.
Yeah, he's a tremendous bloke.
So anyway, I'm going to say over or under 8 rounds. The match will go.
I'm going to say it's going to go distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without knowing too much about what both the fighters have been up to in the last sort of 12 months, yeah, I'm going to say it'll go the distance. But they are two greats, and this will be a really good thing for boxing, particularly as the UFC start closing in on boxing or maybe even going past boxing.
Imagine the pay-per-view numbers for this.
Oh, it'll be unbelievable.
Astronomical.
Yeah, unbelievable.
$50-$100 a pop, whatever it is. Mm. Imagine the illegal downloads and all the viruses that are going to get out there.
That's me.
Wow. I'm going to say under, simply for a point of difference. Right. 7 rounds.
Who do you think is going to win?
Mayweather. Why not?
Wow.
Why not? He's just a big brute. Let's move on. Our fifth one.
Okay, well, this one comes from... it comes with a bit of thanks from one of my Twitter followers, at BruceW1964.
Brucey.
Now, Bruce tweeted me and said... And I said, I'm going to use that on our next podcast, and I promised him I'd give him a shout-out. So there you go, Bruce. He said, how many times will Channel 9 give Sam Burgess man of the match this year? Under or over 2 times?
I like it. I like it. Let's see. He'll be playing 0 games.
Yes. Yes. Which will makes it a little harder.
Can they give, like, you know how they give, like, posthumous Oscars and stuff like that? Can they give some sort of, like, posture leaving to go to Bath Rugby man of the match awards?
I don't know, but...
Let's face it. That grand final man of the match was... purely emotional, media-driven
absolutely.
Debacle.
Absolutely. It ran a script.
Absolutely. Yeah. So to that end, I'm going to say over.
I'm going to say under one.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'm going to say somehow they're going to manage.
He will win a man of the match this year.
2.5. They're going to give him 2 flat out, and then half. They're going to get joint man of the match.
They might have to interview Julie instead of Sam, but it'll happen. So thanks, Bruce. Right.
They'll get her on camera. Absolutely. Our weekly full credit to the boys awards. So this is where we've just seen some gold out on Twitter, and we've said, you know what? We're going to give these guys a plug because we appreciate your banter. We appreciate your wit. We appreciate the effort, even though you didn't tag us in it. Whatever.
The first one of mine did tag me in it because he replied to a tweet of mine. I wrote to the Sydney Morning Herald and to the Daily Telegraph. I said, here's your tomorrow's headline, Valentine's Day Massacre, thinking it was a nice obvious tweet.
Yep.
Headline for tomorrow's papers after the Australians absolutely flogged the Poms.
Yes.
And he wrote, as quick as a flash, I might add to, or it could be this one, former legend. Marsh gets root on Valentine's Day after Marsh bowled root.
Slow clap.
So that
slow
that
clap.
That is a chunk of gold.
I like it.
Yeah. So
So that's your amateur one for this week.
That's my amateur. What about you?
My amateur one for this week goes to a fellow called it's a bit of an odd name here. At TBH, just stop, which in internet cool kids speak is, to be honest, just stop. And it's not sporting related, so I apologise for that, but it was fairly topical because...
Worthy.
Old Kanye West got back up on stage again at the video awards this last couple of weeks. This guy's... and basically just decided the show was about him. So at TBH, just stop has just said... Kanye seems like the kind of guy that would unplug you from life support so he can charge his phone. Slow clap, TBS.
That's
just
very good.
Well done. Topical as well.
Can we just, while we're talking about tweets that you wish you wrote.
Yeah. Right. Every day. Yeah. Every day, okay, which is pretty much what this segment is.
Yeah. So I seen one and I'm sorry to whoever wrote it. It got like 500 retweets, literally 500 retweets. However, someone wrote during the week, Marvin Gaye may have sang What's Going On, but I bet Stevie Wonder said it more often. I wish I wrote that. That is brilliant.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Your celebrity one this week.
So this is a bit of a... It's hit the news today. It's made the papers. I think you'll read in the paper tomorrow. But Dr. Marwan Kukash, who owns the Salford Reds... English Super League.
Is he the one
who
was talking about coming over here and buying a team?
Yeah. He owns a couple of good racehorses and has a massive, massive love for rugby league. So that can't be denied. He wrote after another one of their losses during the week, tweeted, I've had enough, which isn't the tweet I'm talking about. He got replied by Ryan O'Hara, who played one game of State of Origin.
Oh, yeah, I know Ryan O'Hara. Yeah.
Who's Twitter address
played
is...
Played for the Raiders a long time ago. Yeah.
Twitter handle is at @RYANO_actionman. And he wrote a couple of tweets. I don't know whether he's on the drink or what, but he wrote, told you Harris, which is the coach, Yeston Harris, told you Harris is a fat, lying, shit coach, fucktard. Maybe you should send him to work with your buddies at ISIS.
Wow.
Now...
There's all sorts of slander in there.
Wow. Now, yeah.
Whoa.
Now, he didn't stop there.
That wasn't Gary Gallen on his phone again, was it?
Well, Gary Gallen might be flying over there really quickly. He didn't stop there because he had another crack. And he wrote, hey, Marvin, have you heard of that old saying that goes something like this? Harris is a fat shit who can't coach, so fuck him off.
Wow. Did this coach by chance cut Ryan O'Hara?
Well... Long story short is, he had something to do with one of the teams that did fold in the English Super League.
Oh, yeah.
And Yeston Harris had something to do with the team. He was a coach at this time.
Bradford.
It was at Bradford, was it?
Bradford, I think.
Okay, well, there's a bunch of money to a bunch of blokes being owed. Ryan O'Hara and Lincoln Withers are part of that.
Yeah.
So I believe that's where the history of this is. I'm not sure where the ISIS quote comes from. And that was hot.
I don't even want to touch that one.
Yeah, and then it actually went further and further where Dr. Kukash's daughter got involved.
Wow.
And we'll leave it at that, but it was ugly. Ooh. So that was my tweet of the week. Whilst it wasn't great, it was entertaining.
It'll do. My celebrity tweet of the week this week can't really compete with the weight of that one. However, I've elevated At the Grade Cricketer to
very good
celebrity
account.
Status this week.
Very
because,
good account.
I've enjoyed it. And also, you know, it's World Cup time, so, you know, topical. So it's At Grade Cricketer says, best Valentine's Day of my life. 37 not out and 3 for 46 off 7. Might even move up to 3s next week. Wish I had a girlfriend to share this with.
Is that Boring NRL Guy or...?
It's basically the cricket version of Boring NRL Guy. So there you go. If you like Boring NRL Guy, the snake, then follow Victor. At Grade Cricketer. Now, Twitter challenge. As you know, we do a lot of tweeting with this show. That's how we drive ourselves. We don't have any advertising. We don't have any money. We don't make any money. So that's how we do stuff.
Mm.
And that's how we also try to pester celebrities to get a tweet and a follow from them. We issued a challenge a few months ago where we each gave each other a celebrity we had to tweet, get a reply from, and get a follow from as well.
You explain that far better than I do.
It's bloody hard.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. So I gave former legend Sally Fitzgibbons, who you can find at Sally_Fitz, and he in turn gave me old golden locks at Shane Warne. How are you going with Fitzgibbons?
You know what? Today I tweeted her. And after I tweeted her, it got bulk, well, not bulk retweets, but, you know, half a dozen retweets and follow favorites and everything else. And it's then I realized that I was caught kind of self-sabotaging with what I'd written.
Yeah.
So my chances of getting Sally Fitz have, whilst they were 1 in 1,000, are probably now 1 in 1,000,000. There's still a chance, but it's rough. So I wrote today, with news of Trent Merrin going to Penrith, possibly,
yep,
in a player swap.
Sounds like it's a bit of a fait accompli, so we'll see.
Yeah. I wrote, hi at Sally Fitz. If Trent moves to Penrith, which beach will you make your base? I've heard the break on the Nepean River is gnarly. So, as soon as I tweeted that, I thought, that's going to do me no favours.
Because do we know if they're still together? Because everything's kind of been quiet on that
front. I believe they are. Okay. Yeah, he tweeted the other night something about watching videos or something of Sally.
Oh.
No, no, no. An interview with George Rose.
Maybe they're not actually together, but he's just sitting there watching videos of Sally.
Like a stalker.
Yeah.
Like you do with Von Samson.
Go on.
So, yeah, probably 5 retweets, 6 retweets, a bunch of favourites. And then there's massive conversation between 2 or 3 of my followers. And every time they wrote something, they included Sally in it.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah, I think I'm shot duck.
It's like you've told someone you like this other person, and then everyone's told them, and it's just gotten a little bit out of control.
Can I tell you, I won't say who, but someone private messaged me the other day and said, what's with the Sally Fitz tweets?
Yeah.
Right? Now, this person is in the media and is a friend of Sally's, and I said, oh... And I told them about the podcast and blah, 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 blah. And I said, please don't tell Sally what we're up to. It's a bit of a game between me and the late mailman.
Wow.
So I just want to let you know that I've stayed true to the competition and haven't tried to get an inside running.
Well, it's very noble of you. Speaking of the competition, my week hasn't been wonderful. I got a little bit of traction with my tweet to Warnie this week.
Right.
So what I've done is I've gotten a little bit crafty, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna sort of play the nostalgia card.
And I've just read your tweet.
Yeah. I've Googled Shane Warne autograph.
Right.
And then I've gone image search, and I've found a photo of Shane Warne which is signed, and I've gone, and not just that, but it's a photo of him with Sachin Tendulkar and Don Bradman. Good bunch of cricket pedigree in that room.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've tweeted Warnie and I've said...
Wait, before you go on,
yes.
Sorry. Did you see this week that they can now mix 3 different male genes to form 1 baby?
Wow.
Now, with that in mind, with that picture you're talking
this
about...
This photo.
Wow.
Imagine the all-round skills there.
Anyway, go on, sorry.
I said, clearing garage... Found this awesome pick, Shane Warne and Sachin Tendulkar signed for me along with the Don. Remember this, Warnie? And of course, I tagged him in it.
How did you go with it?
Got a good bit of traction. Got favourites from Brad_Owers, Manali_MB1, Le Dog Whisperer, at Smartline82, and at Shinazzy. Unfortunately.
Nothing from Warnie?
None from at Shane Warne. I thought I might have gotten a retweet because, funnily enough, I saw someone had done something like that with Sally Fitz today, which gave me the idea. See, I'm an entrepreneur when it comes to these sorts of things.
Right.
But yeah, zero. Absolute.
I just want to know what sort of garage you've got where you've got a picture of those three signed just sitting down the bottom of the garage.
It's the Google garage.
Yeah, right.
It's a soft copy.
Yeah. That'd be the hole in your story there.
But the thing about it, it was a photo of a photo. Warnie's probably wondering, why the fuck was that taken off the wall in the first place? I'm not going to retweet that bastard. Anyway, we've got another Twitter challenge going out there, which is actually called the Pizza Delivery Challenge. It's you can see it on our Facebook page. We put a lot of the photos up. Full credit to the boys is on Facebook. We've tweeted it out a little bit from it at @FCTTB_podcast2. And we've got another entry this week.
Yeah, so this is from @BennyBegood83. In case you don't know, if you order pizza via the internet, you add delivery instructions in one of the boxes. And it's been a bit of an ongoing joke about what you can write in there. So BennyBegood83 wrote, "Deliver to the caravan, and if it's a rockin', don't come a knockin'."
Good gear there, Benny.
Now, Benny lives in the caravan.
Well, he actually does.
Well, by the looks of it, otherwise. Yeah.
He's like Tim Riggins in Friday Night Lights.
You love that movie, don't you? That's like the 12th mention.
It's a show, mate. Yeah. It's a spin-off program.
Oh, okay, sorry. Anyway, so thanks, Benny. And guys, keep it up. We crack up laughing every time.
Yeah, tweet us at @FCTTB_podcast and #PizzaDeliveryChallenge. I'm just waiting for a Domino's voucher to drop in my letterbox. That's actually reasonable to get home delivery pizzas. It's friggin' expensive.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend $20 on a Domino's pizza. With all due respect, Domino's, I can get one from Crust or
it's
around the corner.
It's for the podcast, late mail, man. It's for the podcast.
We're not making money off this. I can't deduct it, mate. It's all about the earn. Come on.
Our 5-star reviews are our money.
Speaking of which, we've had a few more 5-star iTunes reviews, so happy days. Thank you very much to this clearly 12th man inspired. My car's a bit rusty.
Yes.
Who got on there? Who else was on there?
Seb Callan, and he wrote, "Come on, late mailman, tell us who you really are."
All right, Seb, I'll tell you. My name is... You can call me at this phone number, 0404. Here's my number, so call me maybe. There you go. So that's exactly who I am, Seb Callan. Come find me. Let's have a beer. Bring one with us.
Pizza. And a pizza for
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. And a pizza from home delivery Domino's. Do something funny, Seb. Come on, mate. So, if you are on iTunes and you are podcasting us via the iTunes app, get on there. Give us a review. 5 stars if you want. Some happy words as well. Kind words. And also click subscribe on the podcast as
well. Yeah, please. And like I said, we're not going to make money out of this, but if you do that for us, that's your payment, and we thank you very much for us. Also, while we're on the topic, if you have any suggestions for overs or unders, for mountain or molehill, or for...
Get off the fence. Yeah.
Feel free to jump on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
And scribble away to your heart's content.
Please, give us the content. We'll give you a plug and I'd say we'd send you a free t-shirt, but you'll just be getting my painting shirt.
Maybe that's down the line. I don't know. But so do that and be a part of what's going on here. And also, one more thing before we go for the week. If anyone hears of any interviews with... athletes, football players.
Oh, yeah, particularly with the World Cup going on.
Yeah, with the World Cup.
A lot of voxies.
If anyone hears a player say full credit to the boys,
yes,
let us know.
Absolutely. Give us a tweet at @FCTTB_podcast. You can get each of us at Late Mailman, @Former_Legend. We are on Facebook, as we mentioned. We're on the World Wide Web as well, fullcredittotheboyspodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. Get in touch. We'll give you a plug, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.